Hey guys, I'm Uni, a product designer in tech.
And I'm Juju, a journalist.
Collectively, we're two Kims.
And this is our podcast, Food for Thought.
Welcome to today's episode of our podcast. It's officially fall, and that makes us think of apples, aka the best fall food ever. And also just
by Uni's opinion.
Yeah. Juju will be eating pumpkin stuff, as we discussed in an early episode. But I'm obsessed with apples, and since it's fall, it's a great excuse to talk about it.
Yes, I agree on that point. Uni is very obsessed with apples.
I eat at least 2 apples a day, usually.
Yeah, she ascribes the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. In fact, she goes above and beyond.
A-plus student.
And then I feel like a lot of her grocery cart or basket, the weight is from apples.
Yeah, the weight is from apples, and the bill is also from apples.
But we'll get more into that in a bit. For now, let's kick it off with the specials of the day. So special number one is that crab apples are actually the only apples native to America.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's kind of weird because...
What's the difference between normal apples and crab apples?
They're smaller. We used to have 2 crab apple trees actually in our backyard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then we had to cut them down because the neighbors were mad because it grew into their yard and apples were dropping everywhere.
And bees were everywhere too. Not about that.
No, but they're smaller. They're like more sour too.
Oh, got it.
But I think it's kind of weird because I feel like apples are so ingrained in American culture, and it kind of is like almost a patriotic thing. Like it's like a representative of, like, you think of apples and like I kind of think of America
the big apple, New York, like one of America's top cities.
No, I just think because it's like apples are so ingrained in American history, like George Washington and all that stuff, Johnny Appleseed, and it's kind of weird that crab apples are the only ones that are actually native to America. But you learn something new every day. So special number two, apples were called winter banana in colonial times.
That is kind of gross.
Yeah, I also just think it's...
Children, come have a winter banana. Like, that sounds so weird to say as a parent, like if you chopped up some apples.
Yeah, I think that's really weird because, first of all, apples season is not in the winter, and then banana, it's just like they don't even like resemble bananas in any way.
Maybe if they called like a pear, a winter banana, that would be closer.
I don't know. I just think bananas are very unique. So it's just
The texture is nothing like any other fruit.
Yeah. So I just a very weird characterization, in my opinion.
Anyway, moving on. Special number 3. In ancient times in Europe, girls would mark apples before dumping them into like an apple bobbing barrel or whatever vessel they were using. And the person who would like bob this said apple that was marked by a girl, it would be their future bae. Isn't that funny? Like,
yeah, I mean, but back in the day, they would not call them bays. Just whoever they would be marrying. Well, I guess it would be their beau.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think that term was around back in I'm that time, not sure. But definitely not bae, though.
Apple bombing to find my bae. That should be like a party idea that we host.
Oh, no.
Anyway, special number 4. Apples are part of the rose family.
That's also an interesting characterization.
Yeah, because I actually don't like floral stuff in general. And the fact that I love apples and they're part of the rose family is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense because an apple blossom is what causes an apple. But I would not guess from the appearance of an apple blossom that it is part of the rose family.
Yeah.
Well, we are a bit beyond the apple blossom stage at this point in the season. So how will you be enjoying apples this fall?
I will be enjoying apples in many forms, as I normally do in the fall. So I typically tell my friends that, like, I feel like the best way to appreciate an apple is to just eat it raw. Like, mm-hmm. don't even chop it up. Eat it, like, skin and all to get all the nutrients. But I will be enjoying it in many ways this fall, starting with, like, the ciders that are slightly less alcoholic because my tolerance has plummeted. also, hopefully getting a chance to, like, pick apples if possible. And also lots of pie. Like, I'm not the biggest apple pie person, but I
feel like you're not the biggest apple dessert person in general.
Yeah, it's weird, but I do enjoy my fair share of apple dessert. I had a really good salted caramel apple pie at Pie Night at Dominique Ansel Kitchen in West Village in New York. That was pretty good. So I will be eating my full spectrum of treats.
And just for people who don't know what Pie Night is, it's basically every fall for several weeks, Dominique Ansel, this pastry chef, he has several restaurants and bakeries and across the U.S. and also the world. And he hosts this event called Pie Night in the fall. And it's basically just like you have an hour and you buy tickets for it. They like sell out really quickly. And you go there and you just shove your face with around 10 pies that he has every year. But
yes,
I'm sure we'll talk more about Pie Night on another episode. So on my end, I like to eat raw apples as well. Especially crispy ones. I don't like the ones that are like soft when you bite into them. But on top of that, I like apple cider, both non-alcoholic and alcoholic. I also love apple desserts.
Have you tried apple cider donuts before?
Yes, I am a sucker for those. And there was an article on Grub Street recently that basically was like apple cider donuts are kind of a sham because they basically just taste like normal donuts just rolled in like cinnamon sugar, which is like kind of true, I guess.
No, I feel like I've had ones that had the apple essence.
I mean, I think this I have, fake. But I understand where that article is coming from.
Oh gosh, my life is a lie.
Like some of them, I can taste a bit of it. Like I do agree that there could be more of a cidery taste to most of the apple cider donuts that I've had, but I will still buy apple cider donuts, even if they just taste...
It's to get in the mood, you know?
Yeah, like, must have a warm apple cider with apple cider donuts.
Yes.
I'm all about that in the fall.
Fall things.
Yes.
Going back to what Juju said earlier about apples having such a prevalence in society, we want to pinpoint a few of those instances. So the first one is Apple, the tech company. so basically, there's a lot of speculation around like how the company was named Apple. And I'll name a few hunches that people have. One is that like Steve Jobs visited an apple orchard and the name kind of struck him on his trip. And they couldn't think of a better company name. Another theory suggests that it's kind of like the imagery of Isaac Newton, like, sitting under the apple tree and getting hit in the head and, like, having a giant revelation. And then another theory also suggests that it's about Adam and Eve, that the bite out of the apple logo represents unlocking a new world of knowledge and, like, Apple is on the forefront of this knowledge.
I wonder which one it actually is.
Yeah, I feel like since apples have so much meaning in just the culture of America and society and pop culture, like that kind of works to their advantage. It's like this iconic thing, same with their company establishing itself as an icon.
Yeah, I wonder if Steve Jobs was like had that in mind when he was coming up with a name and that he like already somehow predicted that the company was going to be huge. And so he was already like must have like an iconic name.
Yeah, I've also heard like it kind of pertains to how tech can be perceived as like this cold, like, robotic thing, whereas, like, an apple is, like, a wholesome, like, natural, like,
accessible thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, kind of like an equalizer. And so channeling that, which I am all about, too, because working in tech, it's always, like, a daily struggle of how do we're designing on these, like, machines, essentially, these smart machines, and they can do very human things and help your life in such a human way. But how do you do that with, like, a less cold and more accessible and warm and fuzzy way?
Yeah, although I do think that Apple products have become as ubiquitous as the fruit itself.
Yeah, that's another interesting way to think about it.
But it's very interesting to me now to be, like, having this conversation, because right now all, like, the big tech companies are coming under fire because, like, privacy breaches and things like that. And it's, like, funny, not funny, because, like, privacy breaches are not funny. And, like, a lot of these companies are coming under fire for, like, being very creepy and intrusive. And I just think it's interesting that the name is, like, very not reflective of what's happening in terms of just, like, in general with tech companies. Because it's, like, if indeed Apple is trying to be, like, accessible with their Apple name and, like, their logo and everything. But right now, the reputation of tech companies is very much going the opposite way, where becoming suspicious.
I actually read an article somewhere that out of a lot of the tech companies, Apple tries to be the most secure with data, where they could have, being as powerful as they are, they could have kind of been sketch or, like, like, very private about some of these decisions they're making. But I read that out of a lot of tech companies, and I can paste an article in the side dish, that they do try to take responsibility and say, like, hey, we're this powerful thing that, like, has become a staple in everyone's, like, electronics life, and it's, like, our duty to protect against that. They probably haven't made every right decision, but it's always good to have that mindset. I sound like a purist designer being like, no, Apple is the best. I do believe that, though.
From a design perspective, like, do you think their branding, and by branding I mean also their name and their logo and everything, like, do you think it, like, achieves the mission of accessibility? Like, do you think it's what they would want?
I do think so. Starting with the logo, it's really impeccably designed. It doesn't have, like, shitty frilly stuff on it. It's, like, a symbol, and it's a relatable symbol. It's so simple. It can stand by itself. It can stand with letters, which I think is a mark of a good logo. And just, like, the way they construct computers and such, they cut the metals for laptops in a way that's environmentally efficient, so that, like, certain unusable parts for, like, the keyboard or something could be used for something, a different part of the computer, or for something else. So I do think out of most tech companies, like, they have stayed true to living up to this, like, Apple name.
So you do think that it does embody what an Apple is?
Like, yes, it's, like, a different meaning of an Apple.
Right.
Because it's, like, cold, like, sleek electronics. I'm a bit confused about the new iPhones, but that's, like, a different story. But I think it, like, has reinterpreted what an Apple existing in the tech world would represent.
Mm-hmm. So another way that Apples have been portrayed in American culture is being associated with teachers. And this association started in the late 1800s, when families would often be responsible for housing and feeding teachers who taught their kids, especially on the frontier. And apples were given to teachers by these families as a sign of appreciation for the teachers, and also sometimes in hopes that they would curry favor with the teachers, like being a teacher's pet, or like, hey, can you raise my grade?
There's a new era of that, though. Like, our mom is a teacher, and I feel like, I'm sure kids these days are much more creative with their bribing. I think a kid asks my mom, they try to be like, if I buy you a Steelers jersey, will you raise my grade? It was a joke, obviously, and my mom was like, dang. kids these days.
I know. Much more expensive than an
I
apple.
I know. I think I would prefer a Steelers jersey over an apple, TBH, if I was a teacher.
But, I mean, these were back in the days when, like,
jerseys didn't exist.
Yeah, and also, this was in the frontier. And
hard times.
Need food.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, food is a very basic need, so.
Right. I'm wondering why it was apples specifically, though. Like, I guess it's easily
portable, yeah.
Whether, like, it'd be nice to, like, receive a casserole or something, but, like, you have to, that takes time, has to be heated when you deliver it. I'm sure people were walking a long way to school anyway.
Yeah. I feel like a big part of that is because they're easy to carry and then you can just eat it. You don't have to keep it cold or warm. So,
right.
And then like a teacher could eat that as a snack. But I mean, do you think that whole association still persists today?
I don't think so. Teaching is in a new era.
Okay, that's interesting. I feel like it still does persist. Like, then again, I'm not in the classroom anymore.
If you go to, like, those, like, teacher stores and stuff where you buy, like, stuff.
They still have that.
They still have it, but I feel like, in general, those designs are not recent designs. They're
wow, you're throwing shade.
Yes, I am. Like, you can have a hip classroom that doesn't have these, like, cheesy decorations. I'm sure they've changed since, like, I remember helping my mom decorate her classroom, like, several years ago. But, yeah, I feel like it's more of, like, a, not tacky, but it's more of just a, like, okay, it's there because it's there. And, like, I get it. But it's actually not reflective of today's society.
I mean, I don't think students give their teachers nowadays apples.
Yeah.
But I do think that that imagery is still prevalent.
The imagery, yeah, it's definitely prevalent.
Like, as Uni was saying, like, at the chalkboard, the teacher store, like, teacher supply store, I feel like I've seen so many apple designs.
It's almost, like, the same way I feel about, like, pencils being associated with, like, teachers and education. In the far future, that's not going to be true anymore because everything is going to be all digital. So it'll be,
like, I mean, it already is.
Education equals, like, computer, not, like, writing utensil or apple, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that transformation has already happened. Even soon after I graduated college, apparently, like, high schools now have computers and stuff. So
changes the game for sure.
Yeah.
I will say staying awake in art history lectures, I can attribute to having my laptop in class. That was the only way it was going to work. So take notes, and if I felt myself getting drowsy, like, I would have to browse on the internet.
I mean, maybe you could have just brought an apple and just munched on it.
I don't think that would have worked, unfortunately.
But how could you be sleeping if you chewed on it? You were chewing.
I thought you meant, like, bribe the teacher with
no.
an apple.
Well, I mean, I guess you could try that.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
I mean, I meant for yourself.
That worked too. I've definitely eaten apples in class. Like, one of my professors made a comment about it. They said, wow, that's a giant apple. And I'm like, I know. I got it from a store that probably, like, buys apples that are just sprayed with pesticides.
I mean, that's many / most stores in America.
Except Whole Foods.
I mean, Whole Foods sells conventional apples now.
My
that's
God.
What they call them. So
it makes them sound so technical.
I don't know. I just, the first time I saw that, I was like, interesting.
Don't feed your babies conventional apples. Babies deserve organic apples.
Wow.
Anyway, so we also have to discuss the most famous story about apples to the world, maybe, which is the story of Adam and Eve and just eating the forbidden fruit from the Bible.
Yes. I, like, personally, I'm not religious. Just putting that out there. What I mean by that is, like, I'm not really looking for that in culture that much. I mean, occasionally, like, you'll see, read, listen to music, things like that, references to Adam and Eve's story, but other than that, I don't really know if it's that persistent in today's society.
I mean, maybe if you are religious. I am not religious, so I wouldn't know, but I feel like I don't get why apples, like, are the forbidden fruit. I feel like they're such a wholesome, like, you feed your baby applesauce. Like, I don't get why in the Bible, it was chosen that the apple was a forbidden fruit. I feel like a banana or like...
Wow, but that meaning wasn't like created until...
I just feel like apples are such a staple though. So observing that story of the Bible like in today's culture, I just find that choice very interesting because they're much more like suggestive fruit that would make it appear more of a forbidden fruit, but they literally chose like the most basic fruit of them all, which is the apple.
Well, I guess another way to look at that would be that maybe because they ate an apple, it became it became common because they had eaten it.
So they were the tastemakers of the ancient time.
Well, no, I mean, it's just like because they ate it and it was forbidden, and it was like it was like doomed because that was
not cool.
So I don't know, but also it's just like what we think of as like a weird or interesting fruit now, all those like pop culture meanings, all those cultural meanings, like bananas and eggplants and things like that. Like those did not, I mean, I haven't done research on those, but like those associations I feel did not happen until like fairly recently.
Yeah. So, until society was like advanced more. Yeah. Like emojis also. Yeah. Like that has taken so many years. We're not religious though, so we would love to hear for people who are religious, like what you think about those associations and that story in
general.
And
if it's like, especially the apples role, like if it's persistent.
Yeah.
So the last thing related to apples in culture that we want to discuss is the phrase, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And the phrase actually originated in the 1860s in Wales, supposedly. And it actually used to be a longer phrase. It was, eat an apple on going to bed and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread.
These rhyme.
But the meaning is the same from when the phrase was in its long form. Basically, apples were thought to be very nutritious, and so that saying was created to encourage people to eat apples so that way they are healthy. And in present day, that saying has actually been proven in the sense that apples are nutritious and eating an apple every day is helpful to your health. For instance, there's like a study in 2012 that showed that eating an apple a day helped to lower levels of bad cholesterol in middle-aged adults. So that's just one example of how that saying is actually true in today's society.
I think it's true, but I feel like it's not the poster child of the healthiest food ever.
Right.
It's not like matcha where people are like, oh my God, it has XYZ.
Right.
This. It has become a symbol of like, eat healthy. Like if you look at kids like nutrition posters or whatever at the doctor's office or like in the school, it's like choosing a healthy lunch. Like you definitely see apples involved, which I think is interesting. But I feel like there are definitely, like when you think of health in general in like today's society, it's not just about like eating something healthy. It's like a bit overwhelming trying to be like a healthy person, knowing all that we know like in the medical world today. But I do feel like the symbol of the apple has persisted. I'm not saying that I'm a true believer of this, but...
Says the person who eats more than an apple a day.
I was eating like several apples a day in college. Like I almost...
But you told me that
I think
you
I would
were
eat,
not
like,
sick when all of your roommates were sick. So
I
maybe
think
that's
this
true.
This year, I was eating like 3 apples a day. The only reason why I don't eat 3 today is because like I'm at my desk at work all the time. And like I don't like crunching at my desk loudly. But in college, when you have more gaps to like come home, like take a break from studio or like go study somewhere, I would keep apples, like hoard apples in my backpack. And I forgot, I think this was junior year. It was finals week. Everyone in my apartment was like not in good shape because they were sick. There's coughing. There's like blowing noses everywhere. Our apartment is so dirty and it's like also winter in like the middle of Illinois, which is not a pleasant thing. And I was getting like no sleep. I was eating so badly. But
you were eating your apples.
I was eating the sacred fruit of apples. I had like three every day.
And
like,
you did not get
and
sick.
And I didn't get sick. I finished finals well, like turned the final project in, and that was that. So all I'm saying is I definitely have a hard recommendation on that.
Yeah, but like in that case, it did keep the doctor away.
Yes, it did. Well, I never went to the doctor in college, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. It was those apples. That is a great piece of advice for all you students out there. Just keep eating apples to stay healthy.
Yeah, I agree with you in terms of the fact that I think there are plants that might be more appropriate for the saying of like keeping a doctor away.
But no one's going to be like, have a matcha day to keep the doctor away. Like, if that becomes a thing in the next decade, like, I will be willing to pay up for that.
But, I mean, I think maybe that the origin, because it is an old saying, like, apples were around then, and then, like, it's also, again, going back to being accessible, like, because it's like,
yeah,
you can be healthy too. Like,
right.
You can just, it's just as simple as eating an apple. So
it's only that simple.
But so, I mean, I think that probably played into it. But I do think, like, especially nowadays, that there are things that are probably more fitting for that saying. But I think the simplicity of an apple is what helped it persist to this
day. Yeah, that's what I've learned through this conversation. I'm guessing from a worldwide perspective, too, it's, like, pretty prevalent. Yeah. And then it's been adopted as these icons because maybe the basicness of it has enabled it to be what it is.
Yeah. So now that we all know that we should be eating apples frequently.
this was not sponsored.
No, it was not.
It sounds like it, but it wasn't.
But what is your favorite type of apple, Uni?
Okay, well, my favorite, like, staple recreational apple.
Recreational? What does that even mean?
Recreational as in, like, it's, like, the basic one that I, like, use for many purposes in life. Like, if I'm baking or stuff, too, like, probably like using this, too, even though it's not recommended. But I love the Granny Smith.
No, you are supposed to use Granny Smith apples for baking.
Oh, I meant Golden Delicious. Oh my god. Granny Smith, like, I get for baking. It's really tart and it's like a durable apple.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, because things like get soggy. And,
right,
they become softer.
But I do prefer the Golden Delicious because it's sweet and like I love the texture. It's like a fan favorite apple. I feel like it's not too like controversial or like too sour or too soft or like too hard. Like, it's kind of like a middle ground apple that I just like use for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I eat apples in so many ways, but I would say like the Honeycrisp is a good fall flavor, but my absolute go-to favorite is definitely the Golden Delicious. It's such a like regal name, like anything with Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
Golden Tate is a great football player, like your golden birthday. So like it truly is a winner. It's a golden apple in my book.
Okay. I would say that my favorite apple is the Honeycrisp apple because it's crispy and crunchy. Like, for me, when I eat an apple, it needs to be crunchy. Like, that is my biggest quality. Unlike Uni, I also like it to be tart. So Honeycrisp is like the perfect mix of sweet and tart. The only drawback for me for the Honeycrisp is that it tends to be very expensive, so I try to just buy them on sale. But
sale shopping for Honeycrisp apples.
Yeah.
And I had to sale by Red Delicious this week. I usually buy like 8-ish apples at once and my Golden Delicious were not available. So I had to get Red Delicious and I ate one this morning and it was kind of chalky. But
it
like
was
still,
not the same.
Still like it. But I just like feel like I have developed very like intense. I know how to
You have an allegiance to Golden Delicious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like also like Granny Smith's. That's like my number two. If Honeycrisps aren't on sale and I need to eat apples, I appreciate them for baking and I also just appreciate them just to eat raw.
You know what a Granny Smith apple reminds me of? It actually like really tastes like the Jolly Rancher green apple flavor. And I was never a fan of that. My favorite Jolly Rancher flavor is like that chemically like blue raspberry one. I feel like apple doesn't translate to candy well because it's such a unique, sometimes it can be almost like a bland flavor too, which I think makes sense for like the fruit itself, but that's just an observation.
That's why I like the tart ones, because they don't taste bland. It's like a punch of flavor.
Yeah. I will be sticking to my Golden Delicious and trying to convert everyone to that state.
No. Team Honeycrisp and Granny Smith.
Let us know what team you're on.
Yeah.
In the comments in our side dish.
Or on social media.
Yes.
You can reach us at 2_Kims. That's for Twitter. And then you can find us on Instagram at 2.Kims. And you can read the side dish at our website, 2-Kims.com. Thanks for listening, and come back for seconds next week.